Now, Ask Dr. Love with psychotherapist, author, love and relationship expert Jamie Turndorf, PhD. For expert advice on love and relationships, call into the show at 888-463-6748. That's 888-GO-FOR-IT. Or you can submit your question online at AskDrLove.com. Now, here's Dr. Love.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and I want to welcome you once again to my show. Have you ever wished there was a pill to cure the green-eyed monster of jealousy? Well, stay tuned, because I'm going to show you how to extinguish the flames of jealousy so you can free yourself from this relationship hotbed. And then later in the show, as usual, I'll be answering three questions. The first one that I selected is my ex-boyfriend, where I advise a young woman whose boyfriend became jealous that she was cheating on him when she wasn't. And then they broke up and she found another boyfriend, and now her ex wants her back. And she admits to not loving her new boyfriend as much as she loved her old guy. So stick around as I answer her question on how to proceed without hurting anyone. And the second question I'm going to answer is she playing me? And here I help out a young man who is nursing a case of jealousy as he worries whether his girlfriend who's gone away to school is playing him for a fool. So stay tuned as I help him decipher whether he's being played like a fiddle or whether his mind is just playing tricks on him. And last but not least, brace yourself. This is a really tough one. It's called Deeply in Love but Suffering from My Man's Jealousy, where I advise a divorced woman with three grown children on how to deal with her new boyfriend who is pathologically jealous over her past, including the fact that she wasn't a virgin when the two of them came together. And then, no show's complete without my reading between the sheets. And today I'm going to be answering a question called Uncomfortable with Physicality, where I assist an 18-year-old female who made a virginity vow until marriage and then freaked out when her boyfriend went to quote-unquote third base with her. So she's asked him to lay off the physical stuff, and now she wonders whether she's being naive. So don't touch that dial. Stay tuned so you can hear how I recommend she handle this touchy situation. So now let's get on to today's topic, taming the green-eyed monster called jealousy. Do you often find yourself feeling jealous of your partner, even though you know deep down that your suspicions are probably irrational or unfounded? Or is your partner accusing you of horacious actions when your slate is squeaky clean? In other words, are you or your partner jealousy junkies? And is jealousy holding your relationship hostage? Well, first, let me tell you the origin of the word jealousy. It comes from the French jalousie, which is formed from jaloux, which is jealous, and further from the Low Latin zelosus, full of zeal, and in turn from the Greek word zelos, sometimes jealousy, but more often in a positive sense of emulation, ardor, zeal, with a root connoting to boil, ferment, or yeast. And, you know, Shakespeare used the simile like a green-eyed monster, and since then the color green has been associated with jealousy and envy, and that's where the expression green with envy comes from. Now, how do we define jealousy? Jealousy is an emotion, and typically it refers to the negative thoughts and feelings of insecurity and fear and anxiety over an anticipated loss of something that you value, particularly a human connection. Now, jealousy often consists of a combination of anger, resentment, inadequacy, helplessness, and disgust. And just so you know, people don't express jealousy through a single emotion or a single behavior. Instead, they express it through diverse emotions and behaviors. Now, some say romantic jealousy is a complex of thoughts, feelings, and actions which follow threats to your self-esteem and or threats to the existence or quality of your relationship. When those threats are generated by a perception of a real or a potential attraction or emotional involvement with or love between your partner and an imaginary rival or a real rival. So jealousy can be boiled down to any negative reaction that occurs as a result of your partner's extradiadic. Now, that's a mouthful. Extradiadic means outside the dyad. So that's just a fancy term for the couple. So any extradiadic relationship that's real or imagined or considered likely to occur. Now, in the case of sexual jealousy, the threat emanates from knowing or suspecting that your partner has had or desires to have sexual activity with a third party. Now, jealousy is actually thought to be a protective reaction. Did you know that? It's a protective reaction to a perceived threat to a valued relationship caused by your partner's involvement with an activity or another person that is contrary to your definition of the relationship and how you think it should be. And jealousy is also triggered by the threat of separation from or the loss of your romantic partner when that threat is attributed to the possibility of your partner's romantic interest in another person. Now, have you noticed so far that all my descriptions of jealousy share two basic themes? First, all the definitions imply a triad. Now, wait, the triads. Wasn't that a Chinese criminal organization? Yeah, same name. But it's a triad composed of a jealous individual, a partner, and a perception of a third party or rival. And second, all the definitions describe jealousy as a reaction to a perceived threat to the relationship between two people or the dyad. So, when you think about jealousy, how do you describe what jealousy feels like? Here, these six things that I'm going to tell you are the common experience of jealousy for most people. Fear of loss, suspicion of or anger about a perceived betrayal, low self-esteem and sadness over perceived loss, uncertainty and loneliness, fear of losing an important person to another, and distrust. Now, I want to take a second to talk to you about envy, which should not be confused with jealousy. Popular culture uses the word jealousy as a synonym for envy, but they're not the same thing. And if you look actually in dictionary definitions that include a reference to envy or envious feelings in their definition of jealousy. But in fact, the overlapping use of jealousy and envy has a long history. Now, it may be that the overlapping use of jealousy and envy comes about because people experience both feelings at the same time. A person can envy the characteristics or possessions of someone who also happens to be a romantic rival. In fact, you may even interpret romantic jealousy as a form of envy, because a jealous person may envy the affection that his or her partner gives to a rival, affection that the jealous person feels entitled to him or herself, right? But people often use the word jealousy as a broad label that applies to both experiences of jealousy and experiences of envy. And although popular culture uses jealousy and envy as synonyms, many philosophers and psychologists really are asking for a conceptual distinction between jealousy and envy. For example, there's this philosopher named John Rawls, and he distinguishes between jealousy and envy on the ground that jealousy involves, I think this is really cool, it involves the wish to keep what you have. And envy is the wish to get what you do not have. So, for example, a child is jealous of her parents' attention to a sibling, but envious of her friend's new bicycle. So to make it simple, the jealous person perceives that he or she possesses a valued relationship, but is in danger of losing it, or at least of having it altered in an undesirable manner. But an envious person doesn't possess a valued commodity, but wishes to possess it. So, here, let me give you some description of the experience of envy. The first is feelings of inferiority. Second is longing. Third is resentment of the circumstances. Fourth is an ill will towards an envied person, often accompanied by guilt about those feelings. The next is motivation to improve yourself. And last is the desire to possess the attractive rival's qualities. Just so you know, people can experience envy and jealousy at the same time, and feelings of envy about a rival can even intensify the experience of jealousy. And here's another interesting point I want to give you about jealousy. Jealousy is a familiar experience in all intimate human relationships. And can you even believe that it's been observed in infants 5 months and older? It's true. There was a research out of the Texas Tech University, and this research showed that children are capable of feeling and displaying jealousy as young as 6 months. And infants also showed signs of distress when their mothers focused their attention on a lifelike doll. And this research may explain why children and infants show distress when a new baby is born, creating that foundation for sibling rivalry. Now, some researchers even claim that jealousy is seen in every culture, but others say that jealousy is a culture-specific phenomenon. Now, sociologists demonstrate that cultural beliefs and values play a big role in determining what triggers jealousy and what constitutes socially acceptable expressions of jealousy. I remember getting a letter from some guy who was jealous of his wife, and he was from the Middle East, and she had shown just the edge of her slip. And in that culture, that's enough to be jealous over. Well, in our culture, you know, people wear their jeans hanging down and their butt cracks are showing. So you got to also see how this fits with the culture in which you are. Now, let's talk about gender-based differences with jealousy. How are women and men different in how they experience jealousy and how they react to it? So according to research, more men than women consider emotional infidelity, which is the fear of abandonment, as more distressing than sexual infidelity. Now, emotional jealousy seems to occur more in females than in males. Females experiencing emotional jealousy also are more violent than men experiencing emotional jealousy. And of course, this finding relates to the culture norms in the U.S. that place, you know, we place women, we expect women to be more emotionally expressive and responsive than males. And society has associated emotion in males to be contained and not expressed in the ways that women tend to express emotions. So, you know, in one research, men would not get so emotionally freaked out and they would say, we've got to gather information and talk it out. But also research shows that individuals of both genders are angrier and blamed their partners more for sexual infidelities, but they were more hurt by emotional infidelity. Now, let me just take a little moment and talk about the evolutionary reasons for jealousy, because if you think about it, these are connected to the survival of the species. So one possible explanation of the origin of jealousy in evolutionary psychology is that it's a biologically based emotion designed to foster the certainty about a guy's paternity for his own, over his own offspring. For example, let's say paternity uncertainty in males. Jealousy, if a guy isn't sure that the child is his, he's going to get more jealous because he is worried that he's going to be taking care of somebody else's offspring. And interestingly, it was shown that male jealousy actually decreases as females' reproductive value decreases. Now, for women, jealousy is seen as an evolutionary response rooted in the need to ensure that her mates are going to provide, their mates are going to provide them, that for them and their offspring. So according to research, more women are likely to be upset by signs of what they call resource withdrawal, that another woman is going to take resources away from her, than by sexual infidelity. And there's a lot of research supporting that finding. Now let me talk to you a little bit about jealousy and how it links to the quality of your relationship. So research again shows that security within your relationship, commitment to the relationship, as well as investment and level of alternatives in the relationship, all heavily contribute to the distress level. And some actually believe that jealousy is a secondary emotion, a reaction to your needs not being met, be those needs for attachment, attention, reassurance, or any other form of care that would be otherwise expected from your primary relationship. And last but not least, I want to take a look at the psychological causes of jealousy. What goes on in your mind and heart that causes you to be jealous or causes your partner to be jealous? Now, jealousy, if you've ever been there or watched somebody who's jealous, it involves an entire episode, an emotional episode, including a narrative, you know, like a story that goes on in the jealous person's brain, the circumstances that led up to the jealousy, jealousy itself as the emotion, any attempts at getting yourself together, actions and events, and the resolution of the episode. And the narrative can actually come from experienced facts or thoughts, perceptions, memories, but also imagination, guesses, and assumptions. If you've been there, you know how you can create this whole story in your own mind. And jealousy is also called a cognitively impenetrable state. That's a hell of a mouthful. But what it means is your education, your rational mind matter very little. Your smarts and your intellect don't help you out of the jam because your brain just ain't thinking right when you're in a state. like this. Now, mainstream psychology considers sexual arousal through jealousy a paraphilia, which is like a fetish. Now, some authors say, on the other hand, that jealousy is really, in manageable dimensions, actually positive for sexual function and sexual satisfaction. And there's a lot of studies that show that jealousy even heightens passion towards partners and increases the intensity of passionate sex. So I want to talk for a second now, because this is the most important thing, is for you to understand how specific emotional problems, or what I call the old scars from childhood, trigger jealousy. Research shows us that how an infant attaches to his or her parents is the basis for adult attachment later on. And research has also shown us the importance of early childhood experiences and early family environment on the development of your feeling of competence in your intimate relationships. And we also know that research on self-esteem and our first family relationships shows that individuals actually internalize early experiences within the family, and then that translates into your personal view of your worth, your self-worth, and the value of being close to other people, especially in an intimate relationship. And in one study, actually, jealousy in children and teenagers was observed more often in those who had low self-esteem. And another study showed that developing intimate friends is often followed by emotional insecurity and loneliness and jealousy in some children when those intimate friends interact with others. Now, what can I tell you about jealousy from my own clinical observations here at my Center for Emotional Communication? Well, first of all, think of jealousy as a smokescreen that conceals other deeper issues, especially those proverbial old scars from childhood that I'm always talking about. So childhood loss, abuse, neglect, and rejection all create low self-esteem, fear of rejection, and fear of abandonment. And these, in turn, are the emotional soil in which jealousy germinates. So let me look more closely with you at the specific wounds that cause jealousy. Here's the first one. This is a root cause: lack of self-confidence. So the main cause for feelings of jealousy in this case are your doubts about your abilities or your skills. Because if you were 100% sure of yourself and your worth, you wouldn't suffer jealous feelings. Now, another root cause is poor self-esteem, poor self-image. So if you believe that you look ugly or that you're not beautiful or handsome, then chances are you're going to be experiencing feelings of jealousy when your partner encounters someone who looks better than you. Now, here's another root cause: fear of rejection or abandonment. So behind the abandonment is just plain old simply being afraid. The fear of ending up alone, the fear of being rejected, the fear of losing the love of your partner. Another root cause of jealousy is insecurity. So feelings of insecurity are the result of those two previously mentioned causes: poor self-image, lack of self-confidence, and you just basically feel insecure about the relationship, and this can make you really jealous. You know, my hairstylist has a boyfriend who never got loved as a kid, and so he is constantly telling her about how women are coming on to him, making her jealous, because she has her own abandonment fear issues from her mother not being there for her. So she's always afraid her boyfriend's going to dump her. So you can see how the two old scars are colliding cataclysmically. Now, if your partner favored one of your siblings over you, if you were rejected, if you were unloved, you're naturally going to be insecure about your current love object's love and devotion for you. So also your old scars can induce the other person to fulfill your worst fear, because if you keep accusing the other person of cheating, then they might as well just do it, right? So how do you cure jealousy? How do you cure these wounds that cause jealousy? So the root cause is always lack of self-love, because obviously if you love yourself for the unique person you are, then feeling threatened by imaginary rivals is going to diminish. And when you're no longer in competition with other women or men, you become less vulnerable to feelings of jealousy. So relationships are a mirror of how you feel inside. If you feel irreplaceable in your relationship, you are irreplaceable and jealousy disappears. So the basic way you want to prevent jealousy is to feel that you are unique and irreplaceable and lovable. Becoming more and more authentic is another way to transcend that threat of being replaced by potential rivals. Because the more authentic you are and the more real you are, the more the other person knows there is nobody else on the planet like you. So basically what we're talking about is raising your personal net worth. And that is improving your self-esteem, being your own loving parent, tending to your physical, emotional, and spiritual needs, surrounding yourself with love. It all sounds very complicated, but check it out. Makeup Don't Break Up has a whole chapter. That book I wrote, Makeup Don't Break Up, whole chapter on raising your personal net worth. So read that and follow the steps. And you, as you raise your personal net worth, feel more lovable. You are going to immunize yourself or cure yourself from that horrible green-eyed monster of jealousy. All right, let me take a brief break. When I come back, I'm going to give you some tweets on this topic. See you in a moment on Ask Dr. Love.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. To speak to Dr. Turndorf live on the air, call 888-463-6748. AskDrLove.com is the web's premier relationship advice site since 1996. Visit AskDrLove.com to search thousands of free relationship advice articles on any relationship issue you may have. Or you can submit a question to her free advice column. However, if you're listening live, why not call in? Don't be shy. Dr. Turndorf wants to help you, and this is a unique chance to get a personal answer from one of today's most respected experts. So, if you have a question for her, please call in now at 888-463-6748. That's 888-463-6748. Now back to Ask Dr. Love with Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and it's my pleasure to be with you to talk about the green-eyed monster of jealousy and how to kick him to the curb, or her. So here are some tweets on this topic. You know, if any one of them particularly rings your bell, memorize it. Make it your mantra. Spread it around. Help everybody cure the green-eyed monster of jealousy. Here's the first. Is he or she really taking someone else to bed? Or is this a mere creation of your very own head? Pathological jealousy. A poisoned potion, a tangled emotion, an imagined lack of devotion. Another. Jealousy feeds on fabrications of the mind, a twisted form of seek and ye shall find. Another. Jealousy sends you on a fact-finding mission and treasure hunts for lies and omissions. When in a state of jealous rage, you cannot read the words on a page. In order to ensure that your case is supported, your mind creates a reality that's utterly distorted. And here's another. When life is filtered through the distorted lens of jealousy, you are no longer seeing through the eyes of reality. And here's another. Look at your partner through the distorted lens of jealousy, and you'll end up seeing whatever jealousy wants you to see. And another, know that it is your own self-doubt that makes you think he or she is stepping out. And when your self-esteem is higher, you'll stop thinking your partner's a liar. I like that one. Here's another. Jealousy is a self-imposed prison that creates a relationship schism. That's a tongue twister. I can't say that one three times fast. Next one. It's those old scars from childhood that make you think in ways that do no good. And healing your old scars is the key to setting yourself free from the green-eyed monster of jealousy. And healing the old scars from your past is the only way your relationship's gonna last. If your mom or dad didn't treat you right, you're gonna think your partner's ready for flight. And if your parent favored your brother or sister, you'll have trouble trusting your mister. If your parents gave your sibling more kisses, you may be prone to doubting your missus. And if as a kid you suffered a physical or emotional beating, you will likely suspect that your partners are cheating. And last, when it comes to jealousy, don't believe everything you think, because the mind has a habit of creating an awful stink. Alrighty, I'm sparing you from any more of my tweets. We're taking a tweet holiday till next week. Now let me give you a question that came in when I promised to talk about the first one, my ex-boyfriend. Hello, Dr. Jamie. I'm 21 years old, and I have been dating my boyfriend for 2 years, and we broke up in October of last year. He thought I was cheating on him, and I was not. It's just that I have a lot of boyfriends, not girls. You know what I mean, and then we broke up. I was very heartbroken, and then I stayed 4 months not dating. I begged him the whole 4 months, but it was over then, and I got a new boyfriend that was very serious about me. Now my ex-boyfriend is back. He calls me every day and asks his family to call me. My problem is I love my ex-boyfriend more than my current one, and I don't want to hurt either of them, but to do the right thing, please help me. Okay, listen. I think, first of all, I've got to commend you because you're very sweet to be concerned about not hurting either guy. I really like that. So, and I hear you say that you love your ex more than your current boyfriend. Now, notice your current boyfriend doesn't seem to evoke the same kind of drama in your life. So when you, what you call love may actually be the sparks that fly from your boyfriend's jealousy. And in fact, you know, research shows that some couples actually use jealousy as a way of heightening the emotional intensity and fire in their relationship. So while I can't tell you what to do, I can help you understand yourself better so that you can become clearer on what you want to do and make a healthier choice for yourself. So first I want you to ask yourself, why do I want a guy who accuses me of cheating when I'm not? And how does his accusation pattern fit with your history? Did mom or dad falsely accuse you? Are you playing out an old scar from your own childhood? So I want you to take a hard look at both your relationships because you may be confusing the drama you had with your ex with love. Now, to really study both relationships, use my compatibility test. It's free as a download when you sign up for the newsletter. So use the compatibility test and study first your relationship with your ex, then take it again and study your compatibility with your current guy. And then I want you to also use my Create and Mate guide. Also, that's free with your newsletter sign up. That's going to help you see how closely each guy comes to your ideal partner. And then I want you to use Why Didn't It Work Out with Your Ex? Again, free with your newsletter sign up. To see whether your ex has or had fatal relationship flaws that's going to make a relationship with him impossible. Because if he has old scars, and who doesn't, and he isn't working on healing them, then you're going to end up in the same jealous boat that made your relationship capsize the last time around. Now, last but not least, I want you to do your personality profile. Again, that's free with the newsletter sign up. This is going to help you get a handle on your own issues and help you understand if you are drawn to your ex because you're trying to fix your own old scars. And if old scars are detected when you do your personality profile, then my book, Till Death Do Us Part, Unless I Kill You First, is going to show you how to heal them and set yourself free. Until you are healed, you're not going to be able to make a clear-headed decision on which guy, which relationship is right for you. And obviously, you don't want the wounded part of yourself, the wounded little girl, to be driving your relationship bus. We do not want that. Okay, so after you've done your homework, you'll have a much clearer idea on which relationship is the most healthy and compatible for you. Well, let me take a little brief break. And when I come back, I'm going to take a live call from a guy named Oscar. So I'll be back with you in 1 second on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. To speak to Dr. Turndorf live on the air, call 888-463-6748. That's 888-463-6748. If you like what you're hearing, you can learn about Dr. Turndorf's techniques for turning conflict into connection and healing in her critically acclaimed, groundbreaking book, Till Death Do Us Part, Unless I Kill You First, a step-by-step guide for resolving relationship conflict. Find out more about this book and read a free excerpt by visiting AskDrLove.com. This is Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. And if you have a question for her, please call in now at 888-463-6748. This show is for you, the listeners, so please give her a call now. You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
And I want to go to the phone and take the call from Oscar now. Hello, Oscar. What can I do for you?
Hello, Dr. Turndorf. I was just listening to your program at work and just had you on in the background, and suddenly it dawned on me what you were talking about, and I very much identified with this issue of, like, the difference between jealousy and envy. Anyway, I just got connected with that in a heavy way. But what I wanted to know was, I feel jealous about someone else, and I also feel envious towards, the other people who are in this person's life. And, I guess part of me wants this person to be jealous about me. And what I want to know is that okay to desire someone else to suffer in that way? Do you know what I mean by that? I mean, there's something unpleasant about feeling jealous, but in a way, I want this other person to feel jealous towards me.
You know, we are not made of one mind, one heart. They say that the more you love somebody, the more you hate the person. Everything has a duality to it, even in our emotional lives. And when we love somebody and we're suffering and we're jealous, we want the other person to suffer with us. It's just
bad about that. I mean, this is the person I really care for, and I don't want them to suffer ever. But well, I guess I also do, I suppose.
You see, because what we're really talking about is there's a hidden feeling of anger toward the object of your love, not reciprocating your love in the way you want. So then that anger makes you want the other person to feel pain. These are just feelings. We cannot help how we feel. All we can do is control how we behave. And if you're going to indict yourself for your feelings, you're going to be miserable a lot, because feelings are feelings. They're irrational like the wind. I always say to people, feelings are like farts. They come, they go. Some are stinky, some are more stinky, less. We don't pass judgment on that. We don't pass judgment on the wind. There's the west wind, the east wind. We don't say the east wind is a bad wind, the north wind is a good wind. It is. You have to learn to be very zen and accepting of all your emotional states. Make sure that you don't act on them, that you don't dump your raw feelings on people. So if you make that distinction, I can feel anything. I don't indict myself for my feelings, but be sure that I'm in control of what I say and do. Then you are an evolved being.
Well, that's a relief. That's a relief to hear somebody say that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I can be mad at this woman, too, for not being as jealous as you are.
Okay. So.
Did I answer your question?
Yeah, and you've said a lot in this program, and now I could listen to this again. I'm not exactly sure how this works. Could I?
Oh yeah. What you can do is, if you go to my website, my wonderful engineer, Dave Olson, prepares the tape of today and gives me a file, and then my webmaster puts it on the website so that you can listen to it over and over again as many times as you want through my website or through the Talk Zone radio page as well.
Oh, and I have a friend.
Yeah?
I'll send my friend the information about this. This has been very good.
I'm glad. You know, the thing is, I often am concerned because I have this tendency, you know, to everything about my method is going down to the core, getting to the bottom of the topic and going very deep. So whenever I talk to you, I'm giving you lots of info, and really I don't want to leave any stone unturned. And so I'm always concerned that I might be giving too much or being too overwhelming. So I'm glad to hear that it was dense enough to really feed you, but not make you choke to death.
I appreciate that. It's not too deep for me. I like a lot of this, but for me, I'm the kind of person who has to hear a thing more than once and be able to go over the material. So I'm glad there is a place where I can hear this more than once, because I will need to hear this more than once. And for sure, I will be listening to it more than once.
Well, you know, you're not the only one, because they say in therapy, you have to hear the same thing over and over again, said in different ways, multiple times, over a period of time, in order for it to really enter. So you are not like any different from anybody else. So don't think you are.
And I suppose you must write about this stuff. The books that you've been talking about must have this stuff in it as well, so I could probably read that.
Yeah, I want you, the most important thing is be in peace with whatever you feel and do not indict yourself, because all kinds of emotional misery comes from the way people flagellate themselves over whatever they feel. You're allowed to feel jealous. You're allowed to be mad that she's not jealous back. You're allowed to wish that she would suffer as you do. All of that. It's all part of the human emotional experience.
I don't wish on anybody, because some of the jealousy feelings that I've had have been excruciating. That's not something I want to put on anybody, but it really would be, there's something flattering about it, that somebody would be jealous about me. There's something very,
you know what? It's also telling you what you want in terms of the intensity of love coming back at you. Because what you're saying is you're a passionate person, you love fully, and you want somebody else who would match you with this, I'm jealous and I really want you all for myself. And you deserve to have somebody who matches your love intensity. You do.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Turndorf.
Thank you so much for that question. It was very rich, and I'm glad you called. So now I'm going to give you another question and, of course, my answer to it from the website. And this one's called, Is She Playing Me? Hi there, Dr. Love. About a year ago, I met this new girl at work. And at first, we would just say hi to each other or just short conversations. And then about 4 months ago, I noticed that she was getting flirty with me. She would joke around with me, punch, slap me in a playful way. So we started to talk a lot more after this. And then she gave me her number, and we texted a lot back and forth. The unfortunate part is she goes to school in another part of the country, and she went back about a month ago. We started texting back and forth, and she told me when she arrived and et cetera, et cetera. And when she got there, she would be texting me all the time. And I was the first one she did text when she made the soccer team, and then she texted me asking me to stay up with her, and we talked for long periods of time. But over the past couple of weeks, she hasn't texted me. I've texted her a couple of times, and she does get back to me in pretty quick, but the conversations aren't like they used to be. She rarely texts me first, and when we are talking, sometimes it feels like she isn't interested, and I have to keep the conversation going. And I don't know if I'm being played, or she doesn't want to get into something because she is far away, or she misses me, and I'd really appreciate your take on this. Thank you so much, Dr. Love. So, listen, first of all, I want you to notice that you're asking me to tell you what's going on in her head, and only she can tell you what's going on in there. So to find out, you need to have the courage to ask her. And to do this, I suggest that you describe her behavior. For example, I've noticed that our text conversations aren't what they used to be. Notice that's a neutral description, not you haven't been texting me. No ragging, no accusing, no blaming, right? Just I've noticed our text conversations aren't what they used to be. And then you could say it feels like you're losing interest and that I'm working hard to keep the conversation going. And I want to know if this is right, or ask her if she noticed this too. And if so, what does she think is the reason? Now, I want you to ask her point blank if the long distance is causing her to pull away so that she won't miss you so much. All right. Now, you mentioned that you feel as though she's playing you. By this, I think you mean that she's no longer interested, but that she's using you to boost her ego. That's the only thing I can imagine you mean. So I really think you have to figure out why you're going to this interpretation. Because my point to you is the long distance is enough to explain her behavior. So why are you reaching for an even deeper explanation? So is she giving you cues that tell you she's a player? Or do you have some wound or old scar within yourself, like you've been played before and you're expecting lightning to strike twice in the same location, you being the location? And is that causing you to form this conclusion? I don't want you to dismiss your suspicions, but I want you to study where they're coming from. And if you conclude that they are actually coming from her, that she wants to make you jealous to feed her ego, then you can talk to her about that too. And talking about that topic is going to be very touchy, obviously, because she's going to feel insulted. She's going to feel accused and blamed. So a good way to discuss that topic is to focus on the feelings. So you could say, why do I get the feeling that I'm being played? Or do you want me to feel played when you say or do X, Y, or Z? And then, of course, X, Y, or Z, you insert the behavior that has your red flags going up, right? So I want you to be brave. I want you to talk openly, because it's the only way to save your heart and your relationship. All righty. So let me know what happens after you talk to her. I'll be very interested to hear about that. Now, here's another question for you. This one is quite involved. It is so intense. When I read it, I thought I had heard everything, and this one really takes the cake. Because remember how I said before, jealousy can put a person off into almost a state of psychosis, if you want, you know? And what we're dealing with here is actually almost psychotic. So here's the question. Dear Dr. Turndorf, I do hope that you will be able to help me. I am really desperate to find answers to all the questions that really torment me. And I think I'm about to stop a relationship that just a few months ago seemed a heavenly blessing to me. So I'm divorced with 3 children, 21, 19, and 15. And I'm in a relationship with the man now who showed me that this life is full of brilliant colors. He showed me that I'm a woman and that I can be proud of it. He gave me tenderness I had never had before. I felt appreciated, respected, loved. He is very sensitive too, and his emotional reactions to difficult situations are usually stronger than that of the average person. But there are several situations that are of concern to me. The man I love so much becomes furious with jealousy. He is extremely jealous. Oh, this is very interesting how you've given me a long checklist of every form of his jealousy. So here's number 1. He's extremely jealous of my past. He has difficulty to accept that I was not a virgin when I met him, that I was married and have 3 children, despite the fact that he is still married in the process of divorce and has 2 children. Number 2, he is extremely jealous of anything I say that seems quite inoffensive to me, but which he can connect to my past. 3, he is extremely jealous of any man who looks at me with interest and tries to come close to me or touch my hand. 4, he became furious when he saw my 14-year-old son caressed my hair. He even told me that he could beat my son for that because my son used a gesture of a lover when he did it. And he does not like that I talk to my son with the same soft voice that I talk to him. But this is just how I speak to all people. 5, he tells me that he wants me to be beautiful. He does not mind other men looking at me and appreciating my beauty, but he would become violent if any of them try to approach me. And he wants me to be appreciated by other men only as a piece of art. I get an impression I am his prized possession and that he gets satisfaction from the fact that other men can admire me, but no more. 6, he keeps telling me that his love is not jail, but I feel that I have to be on a constant guard and to be suspicious of any man around me, lest they approach me or touch me. He tells me that, first of all, every man is a male with hormones and that every time they look at a woman, especially a beautiful one, they think of sex with her. He tells me that no man will ever start a conversation with a woman he is not attracted to sexually. He warns me to remember that and be careful. 7, over the time he collected some memories that I had being stupid enough to share with him from my past, and these memories keep his anger and jealousy burning. And he says that now even a small, insubstantial thing ignites his anger stronger and stronger because he cannot get rid of those memories and imagines he has in his mind. Like a man who 5 years ago saw small white scars on my hand and asked if they were from picking cotton. And my lovely man got furious about his telling me that I know nothing about how a man's brain works. And he said that the guy most certainly felt attracted to me if he was observing my hand so closely to notice small scars. Most probably he was imagining my hands holding his penis. 8, he asked me to share as much personal thoughts and emotions with him, but now he uses them against me, as in each of these thoughts and emotions, he can find things to be jealous about. 9, wow, he claims that when he is jealous, he does not want to see me. He even loses his sexual desire for me. 10, he tells me that I have to observe other men constantly to detect that they might have inappropriate intentions toward me. 11, it is extremely difficult for me to know how tender and loving he can be 1 minute and how cold and distant the next. And it is unbearable to be called the most beautiful and wonderful woman in the world, to be worshipped by him, and then the next minute to be called a slut. All because when a group of us went to a lake, I agreed to have my picture taken with another male from a group while I was wearing a swimsuit. And 12, When he is free of his bouts of jealousy, no woman can wish for anything else. He is totally loving, caring, funny. It feels so good to be with him. He changed my life. He gave me my life back. Everyone tells me that I have become simply radiant since I met him. But his jealousy kills all his love has created. I tried to help him to overcome the jealousy. And if any mention of my past marriage is painful for him, I avoid talking about it. Oh, my God. It just goes on and on. It's so long. I'm going to stop at this point, okay? Because I get it. Oh, this last little bit that he said is that he went ballistic because you wrote to someone in English, "Dear Mr. So-and-so." And he freaked because he said that we don't say dear in normal French correspondence. So you must be from France or living in France. Okay, so what you're saying to me now is that you're not sure yourself. You don't know what to talk about. You're desperate. You love him. It pains you to see that your love may not survive this. And you... you don't know how to handle his fear, his lack of trust. Okay, so look, your lovely man is quite damaged, okay? He is jealous of your not being a virgin, yet he knew when he met you that you were a divorcee with three kids. So he's jealous of your son's affection for you, and he threatened to beat him for treating you like a lover. So this guy goes ballistic when you address a letter "dear" to a guy. Your life is a landmine field of invisible bombs waiting to go off. All right. I'm going to take a little break, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to tell you how to deal with this guy. Let's take a quick break, and I'll be back with you in a sec on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. To speak to Dr. Turndorf live on the air, call 888-463-6748. That's 888-463-6748. If you've recently been through a breakup and are looking for a second chance, wondering how you can reconcile with your ex, or if it's even possible after all you've been through, Dr. Turndorf's latest book, Make Up, Don't Break Up, presents her 5-step plan for reconciling with your ex. This plan was developed out of years of research, working with thousands of couples at her Center for Emotional Communication. This is a proven no-hype and no-nonsense method that gets right to the root of the problem to guide you to the right path towards reigniting a lasting relationship. For more about Make Up, Don't Break Up, visit AskDrLove.com. You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and I was right in the middle of answering a question when my engineer reminded me that I was losing my focus here. I was just off on a jealous rant, and I had to take a break. So I'm in the middle of answering this question of a woman whose boyfriend is so pathologically jealous. He's jealous of her son, who showed affection to her. He's jealous that she was married and had three children. He's jealous that she addressed a letter "dear." And basically, I'm saying her life is a landmine field of invisible bombs waiting to go off. So now I know you say that the relationship is wonderful when he's not insane with jealousy. But even when things seem to be wonderful, you're really deluding yourself into believing that things are great. Because at these times, he's just in a dormant state and he's ready to blow at any moment. So that's the other side of him and the other side of the relationship. So you need to understand why you want to be in such an unsafe relationship. And I'm really worried that his pathological jealousy is going to turn violent because he's already spoken about beating your son. And what's more, his anger is mounting. You said yourself that he's becoming more and more furious. His fits are lasting longer. He's punishing you for longer periods of time. As his anger mounts and his fuse gets shorter, you are placing yourself at risk of being harmed physically. Now, I know you said that this man shows you and showed you love. But since you were married for at least 20 years, you said that your eldest son was 21, and since you said that you didn't know love before this man, I have to assume that your first relationship was at the very least neglectful and at the worst abusive. So now that I see that your current guy is a walking Jekyll and Hyde, I have to wonder what old scar you're carrying from your childhood. So rather than focusing on fixing him and his jealousy, focus on yourself. Because if you don't identify and heal your old scar, you're going to keep drawing men who mistreat you into your life. So I've spoken about Till Death Do Us Part, where I show you how to identify and heal your own old scar. If I had to guess, I'd say that you grew up with a parent who was hot and cold and who maybe even falsely accused you. You need to confirm this and see if I'm right. Then you need to get in touch with all the fear, the hurt, the sadness, and the anger that's associated with your past. And then you need to re-experience those feelings, and you need to have imaginary dialogues with your parent in which you say what you couldn't say when you were young. And in this dialoguing, you're healing your old scar. And when your old scar is healed, you're going to be ready to free yourself from a romantic relationship that revolves around the unconscious and futile agenda of trying to fix the parent you grew up with. Now, to support your healing, make sure to surround yourself with people who are loving and supportive, people who are going to offer you an antidote to your past. Now, when you are healed, you're no longer going to be willing to tolerate this guy's kooky behavior. And at this point, you're going to be ready to issue him an ultimatum. Either he gets help and heals his own old scars, or the relationship is over. And by the way, as you read Till Death Do Us Part, you're going to come to understand what wounds he suffered and how they morphed into his adult jealousy. And a word to the wise, with this understanding, the part of you that wants to fix your defective parent is going to feel even more motivated to try to heal his old scars. And when this happens, I want you to remember this old joke. How many psychiatrists does it take to change a light bulb? One, but the light bulb's really got to want to change. So I told you this joke because I'm nearly 100% convinced that this man is not interested in healing or changing himself. Because he seems to be without insight into his reactions, which is not a good sign. And I'm going to go a step farther. I'm going to tell you, not only do I think he doesn't want to heal his problem, I think he wants to replay it over and over again with you being the target of his aggression. Because he auditioned you and he cast you for the part. And I say this because he chose a woman who wasn't a virgin for his partner so that he could star you in his morality play. And the play serves a purpose for him, because what he's doing is releasing his old childhood anger on you. He's gratifying himself with this emotional release. In other words, each time he charges you with a crime, he's really venting anger towards those who wronged him in his childhood. And each time he has a meltdown, he gets a temporary release. It's like taking an emotional poop on you. But the problem is, this poop only provides a momentary relief, and the poop builds up again, and he needs to manufacture some story as an excuse to take another poop on you. So that's why you're never going to be able to see his SH blank blank T fits coming, and nor are you going to be able to stop him, because he's using you as his emotional toilet bowl. It feels too good to him to stop. I always tell my patients, to heal, you have to feel. So your guy would have to be willing to stop releasing his anger and instead feel all the pain from his past, feel all the hurts and the rejections and the letdowns that now fuel his jealousy. And what he's doing now is the opposite of feeling and healing. He's venting and he's releasing. So getting in touch with the pain of his past, sitting with those feelings and talking them through is far less gratifying than the play he's running on you. And I'm not convinced that he's really going to change roles. So this is why my bottom line for you is to focus on you and heal yourself. When you're healed, you're going to be ready to issue him that ultimatum. Now, if he surprises us, and believe me, I am not holding my breath. I'm not going to turn blue holding my breath. That he's going to give up the green-eyed monster of jealousy, because I don't think he's willing to do his own work. But if he is, then he needs to commit to making a memory link to childhood each and every time he feels like he's losing it with you. And when he makes the link, he then has to get in touch with the feelings from then, separate them from you, and then talk about and work through his old feelings. And I don't want you to hold your breath out for this, because I'm not hopeful, as I said. And at this point, we need to heal and we need to save you. And when you're healed, you're not going to want this guy any longer. And then you'll be ready to move on to a relationship that is 24/7 loving. So do the healing work I outline. And if you need further help in healing, don't hesitate to reach out to me at the site. Send me a question or reach out to me at my private consulting division. So, you know, I had so much to tell you on the topic of jealousy, I didn't get to read between the sheets. So I'm going to have to hold that till next time. You know, I wanted to say something to you. I was thinking about my husband and me and how, you know, he was a really beautiful guy, and he'd sometimes come home and tell me that a woman would come on to him, you know, maybe he was in the meat aisle and in the supermarket, you know, that's how you try to pick up a guy in the meat counter. So, and he would come home and he would tell me about it. And it's interesting. I was reflecting on the fact, why wasn't I jealous of this? And the reason I wasn't jealous was because of what else he would tell me along with that story. Because he told me once a woman said, oh, I really like your tie. Well, you know, ties are symbolic phalluses anyway. So he would say to her, well, thank you. My wife picked it out for me. She chooses all my ties and matches them to my shirts and my jackets. So what he was doing was reinforcing our bond, making me feel really secure and reporting it to me. So it was actually a gesture of love. I got the right feeling. I didn't feel jealous. So I was thinking about that. A lot of this comes down to, are you getting the right feeling? When somebody is pathologically jealous, perhaps he or she isn't getting the right feeling, the right reassurance. Perhaps, as that story I told you before, the partner is trying to make the other person jealous to boost his or her ego. Very complicated topic. So that's all I really have for you now. It was my pleasure to share this topic with you. Listen to it again, as my caller suggested, because it was very dense. And next week, you know, I was thinking of talking about when women work too hard in relationships, you know, when you're doing all the heavy lifting, and how it actually causes a guy to lose interest in you and actually wrecks the relationship. So that's what I'm going to talk about next week, and look forward to sharing that with you and hearing from you, receiving your calls and your letters. Meanwhile, I'm sending you a chill pill to cure that green-eyed monkey, monster, everything. No more jealousy. Have a wonderful week, and I'll see you next time on Ask Dr. Love Radio.